Let me know if you guys can hear me.
And you know, there's just so much.
Nice. What's up, Mike?
Information. There's wearables and there's labs and there's genetics.
Chris Wells. It's been a while since we've had you here.
Specifically in my business is a dashboard.
If you're driving or you're not available to hop on video, that's okay, Chris. It's great to have you here, brother. Paul, what's going on? Ben's going to be here shortly, guys. He's just wrapping up in a meeting. I'm actually with him in the same space right now. So we'll get started here shortly. And he's going to take over for Gavin on the presentation tonight. Mike, you want to share any wins?
Does this exist? Am I missing it? Or
didn't pass out when I got my blood work done. You know, that was a win. No, the train's been going good. And I had a call with Greg. Greg went over my genes, which was really enlightening, a lot of stuff. He kind of condensed it down to understandable for me. So that was good. Yeah.
Anything that kind of stood out to you from that specifically?
There was a few different things, and I just wanted to rewatch the call and go over it again. Mm-hmm. He was spitting fire, so it was hard to keep up with it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah. Did it feel like overwhelming to some degree?
No, not at all. No, he was. He explained it very well. It's just there's a lot of information. A lot of it's new to me too, right? So it's just trying to make sense of it.
So like information overload to some degree, maybe.
Yeah. Well, and I was getting ready for work. I took a call early in the morning too, so I just kind of in between, right? So
you're trying to find your lifeline for the day and trying to absorb information.
No, it was awesome. Yeah, it was really good.
Yeah, fair enough. Hey, out of curiosity, because we talked about this on our one-on-one call, you and I, in your fat loss bucket on your genetic dashboard, what did it say about how you respond to carbs? Were you a high carb responder or a low carb?
I think it was a high carb responder, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Cool. So carbs are your friend, which is good.
Yeah, right? Which is nice, right?
Yeah.
So what about just assume the opposite when you don't know, right?
Yeah. Absolutely, man. Absolutely. What about the other one that we spoke about in your fat loss bucket, the fat metabolization gene, on like how you respond to a low calorie diet?
I don't recall. I'd have to go back and check it out.
Yeah, be super curious to see if you're low priority or high priority on that.
Right. I don't think it came up in the high priority stuff, but I'm not too sure. I have to check. Okay.
Yeah, cool. And you guys got your lab set up and everything else?
Yeah, I think my tests are coming in tomorrow. I've got the blood work. I'm just going to wait for some results to come in and then.
Nice.
It'll be good.
Yeah, good. Awesome, brother. Good to see you. Paul, did you ever do your genetics with us? Why do I feel like you did?
I did, yeah. Had the meeting earlier today with Greg.
Yeah. What was your favorite takeaway from that?
Honestly, I'd have to review notes and I don't want some time to process it.
Yeah.
Okay. Just to go back and like think about it a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember if you were a high carb responder or no?
High carb responder, low fat.
Yeah, low fat. Yeah. My saturated fat response is like high priority as well. So genetic weakness. If you guys have the same, basically, anytime that you exceed whatever it says on your test for your intake of saturated fats per day, you just start packing on weight, unfortunately. And so like your fat loss and inflammation levels will go up, which sucks. But at least you know, and you don't have to guess your way through it, you know. Who else do we got here? Nathaniel. Is that Nate Menzies from Australia?
Good morning. Yes.
What's going on?
Good, mate. I'm good. How are you?
I'm good. It's been a while since I've seen you on the call, brother.
Yeah. Anyway, we're coming into stupid season, so I'm getting ready.
Awesome, brother.
Haven't done any genes. Haven't done any genetics, so I don't know any of the questions to the answers or the answers to the questions you just asked the other lads.
Ah, okay. Fair enough. Well, we can set you up, Nate, if you want. If you're genuinely curious. There's 182 genes specifically that we test for. And basically, you'll get a lot of information and insights, which is always helpful. But then there's also an action plan that follows. So it's always better to have like the three-tiered approach where you also know what to do with the action plan. And since you already have a coach, like you're working with Dan, right, Nate? So
Correct. Yeah.
Dan can go, like Greg will do your consultation and then he'll share all the key takeaways with your coach, Dan. And then Dan will fine-tune your programming and your support based on what shows up on your
Are you
genetics.
familiar with Terra? Do you know Terra?
So I can send you, actually, Nate, I'll drop a thing in here on the,
Just drop it in.
It's not
yeah, I'll
an
drop a thing
engineering.
on the chat
It's
here
just
for you
an
if you want to take a look.
engineering like plugin system. It's basically all like every from Aura to AllTrails to Function Health, they're all just using Terra as their backend API integrator. So they're basically just creating these front
Cool. Cool.
shells,
There we go.
wrapper within, and they just plug all Terra
All right,
data's
brother.
or Terra's backend API connection. So
John,
it seems like
what's going on?
Terra's really simplified the process. When
I
I
want to
have
say John,
questions
Mike,
about
and Paul,
workflows,
kudos to you guys. You guys are like
I
the most,
will
probably the
have
most
these
consistent
workflows running.
clients on the community
So
calls
that
every Wednesday.
simplified things a lot.
I noticed Paul's been doing pretty good with his weekend extra workouts there, so kudos to him for that.
Yeah, always posting a picture in the group chat.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Hey, since I got you guys here and Ben's wrapping on this other meeting, what would you guys say is in your top two most interesting pieces of content that we do or that we haven't done yet? So either we're doing it or we haven't done it yet. And if anybody else on the call wants to drop that in the chat, you're more than welcome to, if you're not driving.
Hey, Marty, it's Seth. What do you mean by content?
Yeah, so in muscle intelligence, we speak about a lot. We talk about the optimization of psychological resilience, metabolic resilience, physiological resilience,
Yeah,
physical
that's true. I
capacities.
don't know about
We talk a lot about hormone optimization. We talk a lot about gut health, nutrition, sleep management, stress management, mobility, supplements, libido, sex drive. Just to like give you some off the top, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, what would
That's
you
not
put in like
bad.
your top two most interesting pillars within our framework? Or is there potentially anything that you're interested in or very interested in that we haven't covered yet?
Yeah, my mic's open. So I'll just say this. For me, even though I've been here for a little while, I still think of myself as a rookie and newbie with a lot of different things. And so quite honestly, there's so much, like all those things you just mentioned, there's just so much. And it's like, well, how much can you actually do? And what's going to give you the most bang for the buck, right? Does cutting out seed oil really matter if you're not doing some of the other bigger bucket things? And so I think for me, it's always the prioritization. Like, if I can only do three things, what are the three biggest levers that I could pull? And so I think that's the, because you just rattled off probably 10 categories of things that are probably in and of themselves like a whole master's program, right? On how to do things differently. So it's all important. It's just a matter of what can you get to.
Okay. Yeah, I would agree with that. I mean, they're all important in their own way at the end of the day, right? And typically, where the person, where the individual and the client is failing or frustrated the most, that's typically where they get the most return on investment out of the gate by starting to work on those pillars. But given that you just kind of shared that there, Seth, it sounds like you're interested more in like what are the three levers that you should be focusing on for you? Yeah. Versus
Yeah.
more like micro level thoughts, which are like the seed oils example that you provided.
Yeah. I just threw that out because I sent, Greg something that said, "Hey, seed oils." He's like, "Yeah, back end of the spear though, man."
Yeah.
So.
And based on the ones that I just shared there, Seth, which ones would you ideally want to see
Sure.
more content on, or more like community presentations on?
You didn't mention sex drive for my wife, so I don't really know what else to say to you. That was a joke. That was a joke, fellas. We're being recorded by AI. Someone's going to send this to her.
Oh man. It's a safe space. You can honestly say anything.
Yeah.
I don't know if you knew this, Seth, but Greg, and I don't know if that's a joke or not, obviously, it doesn't even really matter, to be honest, right? Everybody wants to have a great sex life at the end of the day. And there are definitely a ton of things that can be done to improve the quality of sex and libido response for both men and women. And I don't know if you knew this, but Greg, even though we don't market this ourselves, like through email or really put it on socials, Greg supports quite a few women and spouses from the guys that we work with in our community. And
Yep.
covers like the full spectrum, like their hormones, their gut health, their microbiome, their immunity, their organ function, all the fun stuff. So,
Yeah.
I mean,
Right.
we have quite a few clients that I communicate with on a week-to-week basis that are in their 60s and like mid-60s, late-60s, that report back and say they're having the best sex of their lives. So, yeah, there's lots that can be done there. But for you personally, are there any like pillars for you specifically that interest you most?
Yeah, the whole genetics piece, I did it. I think I was probably one of the early guys on it, so I think Greg's probably refined his the way he talks about it and looks, but like I don't have an action plan for that, on whatever it said, right? I don't have an action plan. For me,
The space.
I probably
I've worked for 10 years, and they've been wearing
trying
CGMs.
to think of what the most important thing is. For me, the new eat. Eating healthy and the nutrition piece is always my Achilles heel. You travel, you work, you run. Like we're in the middle of a house renovation right now. I have no kitchen. So like we're eating in our basement, and like trying to dial that in is a challenge. It was super beneficial, Mahdi, for me to go down and meet with the guys in Florida, because for any of you who haven't done that yet, like the in-person event, was super great for me because it helped me figure out how hard I could actually push myself, in a safer way. Now I still do everything freaking wrong, and Greg, chews up my videos, but like I'm lifting heavier weights now than I was before because I feel more comfortable that I can do that. I know I'm probably not answering your question, but
So exercise execution.
yeah.
Yeah.
It's a good
So
one.
exercise execution and then nutrition. Yeah.
Yeah, and Greg and everybody, like Harry, having Dan there and Gavin there and Ben there, all give slightly different perspectives on things. Right. So it was awesome to hear just different, not and I love Greg, right? It's just great to hear different perspectives and be pushed in different ways.
Yeah, for sure. And if you guys ever are here on the Wednesday nights and you're sitting in on a presentation on whatever topic it is, and you potentially hear something that's maybe not directly aligned to what your coach has you doing right now, there's nothing wrong with that. Just make sure you bring it up to your coach, and always, I would encourage you guys to always ask questions on anything that you hear, especially if it doesn't feel aligned with something that your coach has you doing, because your coach has a reason behind everything that they do. Like there's intentionality there. And there's like nuances to everything. I'm sure you guys are sick of hearing Ben say the words it depends when you guys ask questions. Okay, but that's good. Exercise, execution, and nutrition. What about you, Mike?
Yeah, I was just kind of saying the mindset and the psychological aspect always seems to kind of be interesting. And everything in the way I see it, everything kind of can tie back into that in one way or another, right?
So like mindset, psychological resilience, on the more on the spectrum of like habit stacking and behavior change.
Yeah, behavior change, yeah, habit stacking is a good one, right? Behavior change, yeah. Yeah, behavior change kind of encompasses, what might be keeping you from doing something that you're interested in doing, or you You're contemplating, but yeah.
And is that in the context of like, you know what behaviors serve you well, but there's something still preventing you from following through on those behaviors? Like there's like a roadblock?
That sums it up.
Do you have a personal example that you'd be comfortable sharing?
No, I just kind of think it back to like even work, you know. I work, I manage a like the production in a body shop, right? So, it's not an easy job, but it's something I kind of fell into doing, and I stuck around because it was comfortable, and it's like, you think about other things, and then what might be keeping you at your job, or you know what I mean, like the comfort thing or the unknown, or
Like complacency?
like complacency, right?
So you're potentially on the teeter-totter of self-analysis when it comes to complacency and trying to figure out if like there is a different path for you that where you could thrive career-wise with your lifestyle.
Spending time maybe getting clarity on it, right? Being able to quiet yourself down enough to kind of come to some answers on your own, right?
To identify what that could look like,
Or even just choosing, like intentionally choosing something and then just saying, hey, that's a thing, and that's where we're going, right?
Does that stem from a place of seeking like more purpose and fulfillment? Bring that up to your coach. Gonna have like 6 to 8 different books that he's gonna recommend right away.
I picked one up. I'm reading it right now. It was the I just forget the name of it.
Doing it for big box gyms, but they're not doing it. They won't have
I
it.
was reading it. I just forgot the name, but I can go grab it.
Just for gym.
I'll
You
put
know
it up
what's
on
great?
the
Yeah, you know what's great stuff on that for anybody else that's interested is Wayne Dwyer.
order rings. I'm like, all you need is an order ring like dashboard that also
I think
includes
his
a
name's
little
spelled
bit
like
of
this.
a little bit outside of maybe your CGM, which you know what is doing, or maybe your lab work, or maybe your workouts, or I'm almost like moving in the direction of how do we because
Focal point.
what is it?
Focal point.
Focal point? Who's that by?
Ryan Treacy.
Andrew recommended that?
Andrew recommended that,
He's gonna have like easily probably 10, 8 to 10 off the top of his head right away on purpose of fulfillment.
At times, at different times, certain things kind of seem to take forefront of what you want to focus on. Training, I haven't absolutely mastered training, but like the nutrition aspects decent, training's decent, habits are decent, and then it's like, okay, this seems to be the one thing I should probably be focusing on, so
So I get this a lot on the front end with my team, with clients exploring coaching options on muscle intelligence, the services that we provide, what philosophies and principles are a part of our framework, and so on. And purpose and fulfillment comes up a lot. I'm curious if anybody else here on the call also feels the same way or not necessarily. Would you guys want to see more content around purpose and fulfillment?
My, just so you know, like, so it's really timely that you bring that up because Greg has been pushing me to come up with, what are my goals, what are my plan, and it is something that for the first time in my life I'm struggling with, and it ties to purpose and it ties to like goals. So I think that, if I had a vote, I do think there's worthwhile discussions, unless I'm the only one, to talk about that. My life changed, no more corporate life. So I have my own, do my own stuff now. And so for the first time ever, it's just like, well, do what you want to do. And, but what is that, right? Like, what is the goal? What is the mission? What's the purpose?
And that's something that's coming to the surface for you more recently, or it's been lingering to some degree in the background?
I think it's, for me, it's been more recently the lack of ability to have, hey, what's the plan? Right. And like I was talking to a couple of my buddies, I'm like, I got to do something, like train for something. So 20 years ago, we did Pike's Peak Ascent, which was like a run up a mountain, right? Up Pike's Peak. It was freaking horrible. If anybody's never done it before, you should go do it. But I'm like, I gotta figure out something to go, like, to look for 6 months out from now to go and do, to accomplish, to train for something. But the same is in life right now. It's just like, hey, what's the plan, right? Instead of rinse, wash, repeat, how to live with purpose and meaning, other than, you know, just trying to be a good husband and a good dad? Like, what is it?
Mm-hmm. So some sense of purpose comes from being a good husband and a good father, but then there's a piece where you're seeking more clarity. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that part is like the self part, the individual part of you.
You got it.
Yeah, for sure. Super hot topic.
Right.
Comes up often. That's why I'm asking. Ben has a lot of really great stuff on that. Potentially he can bring it up tonight even. Although I think the topics were already predetermined tonight, so I'll let him decide.
Yeah.
But I appreciate you sharing that. That's super important for sure. Paul, what are your thoughts? Top two pillars of content most interesting to you, or do you also feel the same way about purpose and fulfillment?
Honestly, I'd have to agree with Mike about mindset, psychological resilience, and possibly just the stress talk,
mm-hmm.
just like stress responses and stuff.
And is that in the sense of like just in general, not like optimizing your stress on a day-to-day basis, week-to-week basis, or is it specifically like how you respond to stressful moments at work or in a family setting and so on?
Yeah, more like just stress responses at work, so you don't inadvertently take it out on other people or
yeah.
disproportionately react to the small stressor.
Okay, so like emotional intelligence and stress management. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. On the purpose side of things, for purpose and fulfillment, you feel pretty good?
Yeah.
Awesome. Paul, you definitely told me, and I forgot. Do you have kids or no?
No.
Okay. Jeff, great to have you here.
Yeah, thank you.
I'm just talking to the boys about a few things here to capture some feedback, and Ben's about to take over. We're talking about what are some of the pillars or, you know, what are the top two pieces of content that you would want to hear more about from Muscle Intelligence. And then we kind of had this a little bit of a sidebar chat here on like purpose and fulfillment being a common one that's been coming up.
Yeah, I don't necessarily disagree with any of the kind of things that have been brought up thus far. I think the topics over the course of the year are kind of nicely spread between, you know, foundations of training principles, nutrition principles, sleep, and then kind of a grab bag of kind of extras, right? Like stuff that you hear about a lot, the different modalities for recovery. For me, I think recovery is maybe a little bit bigger of a deal, certainly now, than it was for me 5 years ago or 10 years ago, because doing the same thing beats me up a lot more. But I still want to do those things. So it's like, I think if there's anything that hasn't been said that, or hasn't explicitly been kind of touched on, that might be one to kind of expand. And I know some of that stuff's already in the kind of the rotation of talks, but you know, that's maybe one to kind of have emphasis on.
So specifically recovery and the modalities within within that realm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. And is that in the sense of like, is that within the context of like, infrared sauna versus traditional Swedish sauna versus cold plunging versus meditation versus supplements and nutrition?
Yeah, I think you could break it down multiple ways. I think the supplement nutrition part you could sandwich into other nutrition talks.
Yeah.
And I think Greg has done a nice job on some of the previous talks of saying like, you know, here's my list of stuff that I think helps with that. I think the meditation, sauna, you know, light therapy, that kind of stuff, you know, mobility type work, like what kind of mobility work improves things and what kind of stuff just works on stretching, you know, like where to look for that kind of stuff, that might be helpful. But
Once I make a decision, you go all in.
Okay, got
Definitely
it,
reach
got
out.
it. And is that coming from like a place of you feeling like you are feeling challenged in that realm, or just general like curiosity and interest?
I think just general curiosity. I think going through all the written stuff that the program has, it touches on a lot of those different things. And I think throughout the year, I've been working with Chris and, at various points, he's inserted some of those things into the week. So I've gotten to try a lot of it. Employing that at certain times has been really helpful. So I think, but it's I think it's always nice to also then have the comprehensive view. Like for problem X, these are the five or six things that can be helpful, and these are kind of the sub scenarios where they're most helpful. So.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Like if you encounter problem A, here are five things that you can do to solve the challenge that you're faced with, right?
Right.
Yeah. Okay. And you feel like Chris has done a good job of that? Yeah. Okay. Awesome. Kudos to you, Chris, when you're watching this recording. Okay. Awesome. Hey, one last question for you guys. That's super helpful to my team on the front end. When you first got introduced to muscle intelligence, do you guys remember how that happened, or like what piece of content it was that generated some curiosity for you, or that was like the catalyst for you to like book in on your call with myself or with someone on my team?
Right.
Seth, what do you got?
Yeah, so it's funny. A buddy of mine sent me over a podcast that Ben did with a doctor, and he said, "Hey, if I was you, given what you've told me, I would consider going to see this doctor." And so I booked a call with a doctor, paid him a bunch of money, did a bunch of stuff, and it was basically the hammer sees the world as a nail. We're going to just put you on testosterone replacement. And so he's great, and I'm sure the guy's great, and I'm sure he knows what he's talking about. But I reached out directly to Ben, and I was like, "Hey, let's talk about this guy." And Ben goes into discovery mode, and, "Well, what are you trying to accomplish?" And well, he asked me 47,000 questions, and so which I appreciated. And he said, "Nope." He goes, "You gotta." He goes, "You gotta. If you're trying to get a hold of your blood sugar and you're pre-diabetic and all these other things, you gotta. I've got the guy for you, and come on over." And then he set me with you, and then you wouldn't let me get off the phone, and next thing I know, here I am a year later. So, no, I'm kind of kidding. But yeah, so that's what it was. It was a podcast from Ben talking about, specifically, it was testosterone. It was a he's a doctor, and I won't go through his name and everything, but that's what got me on it, his content.
Okay. Appreciate you sharing that. Paul, do you remember?
I think it was one of the newsletter emails came out about a recent program, how they did stress and sleep.
Okay.
But got that, booked a call with you, and yeah, haven't run away since.
Okay. Awesome. And then what about you, Jeff?
Yeah, so I think I was on the like one of the email listservs, because I had used one of the prior iterations of the MI40 programming. And it was an email for kind of the latest version of that program, and then looking at the program description, and that it was more than just, here's a 3 month program, here's what you're going to pick up and put down, and then you'll be at the end of the program, which is fine. I don't mind that. But it had a little bit more in terms of, a more comprehensive approach about focus. And that was right at a time where I had a lot of different things going on. And I was like, I need something that will, I need a target, right? I need like some North Star's target to go after, something to hit. And it seemed like it was a little more comprehensive and gave that kind of endpoint target for me.
Awesome, brother. Awesome. I appreciate you guys sharing. I'll pass it over to King Kong, and he'll share some words of wisdom with you guys. Good to see you guys. I'll jump on my phone. Thanks,
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 man.
Mats.
Apologize for running late on that call, I guess. Jeff, I just heard what you said, man, and there's a lot of I wish I could be there with you guys in every workout, because there's so much I could do to push the level of focus, the level of benefit, level of output. And so sort of speaking to that really quickly, provided that, I think that was your question, but even if it wasn't, there's still a lot of value here. There's one place that you can always find focus, and it's reliable. It's always there, never goes away. And that's at the deepest depths of the hardest thing you do that requires all of your attention and focus. And when you do things that are sort of, you know, sort of hard and sort of not hard, it's easy to get distracted. But if you've ever done something that's remarkably challenging and it requires all of your physical attention and all of your mental attention, it's always there, man. Like there's no thinking about your the way your date went last night or the meeting you had earlier when you're all in on something, you know. And cold plunges serve the same purpose, don't they? And so practicing focus at times is just practicing the ability to go all into something. It's one, certainly one way that it just never goes away. Pulling your attention back into a workout, you know, because it's so easy to get pulled in some direction. The simplest way, man, is just always be like, can I give everything in this one set and in a safe way? That doesn't go away. And then it's like the, I was talking to, actually, I had a great podcast this morning. I'll share with you guys real quick. There's a gentleman who wrote a book called Indistractable. His name is Nir Eyal. I found him on the podcast before. We did another one this morning. But he speaks about how people set goals, they experience resistance, and then they get distracted. You know, we set a goal like going to the gym and having a great workout, and we get distracted. And what the most useful piece of information wasn't even from our podcast, if I'm honest. I think I said it. It comes from Phil Stutz. Is like, how do you train yourself to use that resistance, that desire to not do it, that like, you know, I call it resistance. So we run into a thing that's like, I don't want to do this. How do you use that as a trigger to lean in instead of lean out, right? To lean into what's hard. Phil Stutz in his book, The Tools, calls it the reversal of desire, which means when I feel the desire to not do this thing, when I feel the desire to quit, when I feel the desire to not work hard, when I feel what I call the resistance, then we double down. We go, let's fucking go. And I love putting a big stupid smile on my face and go, all right, here we go. And it's sort of this playing this game with yourself when you use that as a trigger to go further into focus instead of backing out. And then you're literally training the ultimate anti-fragility, because as your body wants to quit, as your mind wants to get distracted, you lean in. I think that was sort of on the direction of what you're talking about. Like, how do you improve your focus, use your workouts to improve your focus? If it wasn't, it's still useful to think about. Today was meant to be a conversation on resilience, anti-fragility, and training in a hard stress world. Is that something you guys still feel value in discussing? Give me a thumbs up. Yeah. Okay. So here's my belief. I don't believe anything is hard. I just believe we're not strong enough yet. Right? Think of someone in this world and their life is so much. You know, Seth, you being on this call is very ironic, because if there's anyone I've ever met in my life who could make an argument for like, man, I got a burden. I got a lot of stuff. It's you. And, you know, like, if anyone could make an excuse as to why they couldn't get to the gym, couldn't work hard, couldn't follow their diet, again, that's you, man. So the irony of you being here is not an irony. It's obviously a beautiful, the reason you're here is because you can speak to this. But shit is hard, man. And when shit is hard, put a big fucking stupid smile on your face and go, I got this. You know, we all go through times of really difficult stuff. And it's okay. You're going to get through, right? Sometimes your psychology is like, I have no idea how I'm going to get through. I just want to crawl into a hole and not talk to anyone. But I'm going to go and do it anyways. And I don't have to be perfect. I just have to show up, right? Because I think sometimes we create this like expectation of like, I have to go do this and I have to meet my standard and I have to do this really high thing. I'm like, no, you don't. You don't have to do any of that, right? It's just about being consistent. Showing up is maybe everything. Just go and like start. And so we develop what I call physiological resilience, right? The ability to be resilient to stress, the ultimate anti-fragility by leaning in on things that are hard. And when we feel ourselves choosing comfort, moving in on things that are hard. So while this was meant to be like, well, how do I train when things are stressful? And I will talk about that. The first thing I want to acknowledge is like, welcome it. Welcome it. And now there's certainly a point where there's a tipping point where you're like, man, I can't sleep. My brain is breaking down. I don't want to eat, or I'm overeating, or I'm looking for ways to medicate myself. And if that's the point, then that's a different game, right? Then we're looking at how do we improve our aerobic fitness and our breath control. Those are your two biggest levers for sure. Actually, three biggest levers I would say is light, like getting significant light exposure first thing in the morning. I'm going to give you guys another really big lever in a minute. So light exposure first thing in the morning is really important for stress modulation. Aerobic fitness is really important for stress modulation. So when you're tired, when you're overwhelmed, when you're anxious, get your ass on the cardio bike or go for a run or go for a walk. And the third one is controlling your breath cadence. Some people overbreathe, some people underbreathe, some people are not aware of their breathing. And if we can become aware of our breathing and simply slow down the exhales, slow down the total number of breaths, we can really shift our physiological state. So the other thing that I think is a really big lever that you guys should know is your circadian biology is probably the single biggest, your circadian rhythm, your circadian biology is probably the single biggest influence on the health and function of your system, all aspects of your system. So your adrenals, your testes, your liver, your kidneys, your heart, your circadian biology is the most important lever for sure. If you're out of alignment, if anything in your life is out of sync, whether it be your training, your food, your sleep cycles, your body's not going to function well. So there's a recent discovery in the peptide epitalin that is epitalin works on your pineal gland in the brain, and it's a ma the pineal gland is the master regulator of your circadian rhythms. It works through the so-called suprachiasmatic nucleus and helps to reset your circadian biology. So taking 10 milligrams of epitalin every day at 10 a.m. for 10 days, 10 milligrams, 10 a.m., 10 days, has been shown to be a remarkable reset to your circadian biology and significantly improve and increase deep sleep. So if you guys are ever being like, hey, I'm having a hard time recovering, I do this for all of my guys. Coming to about this time of the year, we do an immune protocol. And so the immune protocol is 10 milligrams of Epitalon at 10 a.m. for 10 days, 1 milligram of thymosin alpha 1 at 10 a.m. for 10 days. And that's our baseline immune protocol, because everyone's going to be going into a state of like, well, chances of getting sick during the next 3 to 4 months is higher. So why don't we bump the immune system? So there's mushroom inclusion. We include mushrooms. And you can do psilocybin, actually. Psilocybin can be very beneficial for the immune system. But specifically, you do what we call the five defenders, and I'll tell you what those are if you guys want. We do the mushrooms, we do Epitalon, we do thymosin alpha 1, and we do vitamin D, zinc, and quercetin. So we have this like immune protocol that can really increase the immune system. So why am I talking about the immune system when I'm talking about recovery? Well, the immune system is recovery. While we don't always think about longevity through the lens of the immune system, it's massive. So the reason we take thymosin alpha 1 is because it resets the thymus gland. The thymus gland is that your master center for your immune system. So if we want to improve recovery, if we want to improve our ability to recover and have a greater immune system, we reset the thymus gland. So the thymus and the pineal, Vladimir Kavinsky from Russia, who's the godfather of all peptides, recently passed away, says if you're going to take any peptides all year round, start with those two as your foundation. So Epitalon and thymosin alpha 1, those should be taken, he believes, in micro doses all year round to reset the body. And our recent research shows 10 a.m. is the seemingly best time, provided you're trying to go to bed 12 hours later. I'll pause because I talk fast and I talk a lot. What do you guys have to ask? What do you guys have to say? Any questions? Does that make sense? Is everyone confused as shit? Do you want me to repeat some stuff? Do you want me to clarify some stuff? Does it seem valuable to know that? Do you want me to write down the protocol in the chat?
Yeah, I think if you could write it down, that way we can have it.
Seth, my man, I got you,
Hey,
brother.
Ben, I just want to say while my mic is open, I'm just listening to Unbeatable Mind, which ties into what you're talking about.
I'm gonna have Mark on the podcast pretty soon again. And I've been texting. I want to go. I'm gonna go out to. He's out in. I think he's in Southern California. He might be in Austin, but I'm gonna go out and do a live interview. I might do his Kokoro camp as well.
Yeah. While you're typing, I know you said I deal with some hard stuff, but man, you know my motto, it could always be worse. And I have first world problems. There's a lot of them, but like your message a week or two ago about doing something hard was like really timely, because I was just like, I don't in my and a buddy, a business partner of mine, he was talking about hard stuff. I'm like, dude, we don't know hard. Like, no, we you and me, this guy's Dan, like we don't know hard, right? We've never had to fight for food or fight for survival or anything else like that. So yeah. But then Breakable Mind, it's a good book for anybody who hasn't read it. Ben talked a lot about it, so I'm enjoying
Unbeatable.
it.
Yeah.
Unbeatable, yeah, sorry.
Yeah, good book. And man, I'm glad. It's funny how, the universe delivers what we need at the right time, doesn't it? I don't know how many times I've opened a book. I'd be like, how does this chapter know exactly what I'm going on, what's going on in my life right now? It just seems to happen. Last night I had a dream and I was like, oh, that's the answer to this thing I've been stewing over for 6 months. I was like, fuck. It just comes to me through my dream, I was like, oh, there it is. Yeah, sometimes they just appear. To me, that's something good, right? That means you're in alignment, you're in the right place. Gentlemen, I would love to help you guys have the most effective week. I'd love to help you have the most effective workouts, have the most effective mindset, have the most effective communication with your partners or whoever is important in your life. So I think what I hope to the role I hope to play in all of your lives is some version of accountability, some version of holding the mirror, and maybe shining a light on the path if you haven't been there before. And I happen to be so lucky in some cases that I haven't, sometimes I haven't. But if I have, I'd love to be able to shine the path, one or two steps ahead of you guys and go, hey, this is what to look out for. There's a landmine up ahead. Or hey, here's how to navigate that path. So if there's anything around your training, if there's anything around your mindset, if there's anything around your communication, if there's anything around your recovery, your stress that you're like, hey, I have no idea how to navigate this, and this is what's coming up for me. Now's the time. I want to support you guys. I know it's hard to be put on the spot like that. If any of you guys are having a problem with distraction, this podcast I did this morning with a gentleman named Nir Eyal, highly recommend this book. Highly, including if you have kids, teaching your kids how to navigate the cell phone. What he writes about in his book. Very useful. Very useful. Seth, I've been in talks with Mark, and man, the thing that I would say to him, if you talk to him, is like, at some point, I encourage everyone to go all in on themselves. Whether he works with me, I don't care. At the end of the day, I just love it. I love to be the guy who's like, hey man, stop playing small and go all in. Because he's got these like, everyone's got stories, And the people that I hire in my life to hold me to a higher standard are the ones who, in some area of their life, are operating and living in a way that I want to emulate and I want to embody and will hold me to a higher standard because they know what a higher standard means. And so I think this is. Again, I'm not sure if everyone thinks this way, but the way we improve ourselves is by surrounding ourselves with people who ultimately hold us to a higher standard, period. If you just embody, if you just surround yourself with people who hold yourself to a higher standard, you're just going to get better, I believe, by osmosis. Because, like, hey, man, this is the standard. There's no screwing around and like accepting mediocrity when people around you are just operating on a higher level. You just got to step up. And so, like in 2026, man, I got a big, big year planned, and I'm going to pay to play with some of the best coaches in the world, And man, because I just like I don't want to play small. Like we only get one chance. We could die next week. We could die next year. AI could take everyone's job. AI could take everyone's life. I'm like, hey man, if I have the resources and the ability, what do you have to lose? Play all in. Like invest in yourself. I'm talking to myself, you know, and maybe to some of you guys. Like find the area that you're trying to improve and the person who can lead you there. The mission, the map, and the mentor is my motto, you know. Identify the mission. What am I going to do? Why is it important to me? And mission is goes stretches far beyond a goal, doesn't it? Create the map is what am I going to do every day, every week, every month, and find the mentor who's going to show you the standard and the path, light the path. And this is literally how I live my life. I spent an hour on the phone with my two of my mentors today, an hour each, and I was like, man, these guys. I do 1 hour on the phone with these guys, and they changed my life. Like 1 hour on the phone, I'm like, fuck, I have to get better in every area. I'm like, I'm not showing up here. I need to be better here. I want to be better here, not need to anything. I want to be better. I'm like, God, what a gift some people can bring if you're willing to step up and accept the responsibility for it.
Hey Ben, I got a question about once you started talking about communication, that kind of brought up some things about just being able to be just a better communicator, or what kind of gets in the way of somebody being able to articulate what it is they're thinking. You know what I mean?
Curiosity, not condemnation. Remember the soundbite. Always be curious, never condemn. Step one. So when you're communicating with someone, your curiosity stems from I want to understand their words, I want to understand their perspective, and I want to understand what drives their words and their perspective. Because some people are speaking from their trauma, some people are speaking from their experience, some people are speaking from their insecurity, and you have to be able to be curious about that before you condemn them for that. So if you can be curious about where's that actually coming from, like why are they saying that? Do they actually mean that, or are they speaking from some place of inadequacy, fear, insecurity? That changes things. You're like, oh, I see what that where that's coming from. They don't mean to be hurtful, or they don't mean to be difficult. They just don't know another way. So when you start to like reveal, or excuse me, roll back the layers of the onion, and start to be curious about what is driving people's speech, here's the fact: no one, not no one, very few people know what drives their words and their decisions and their actions. So few people have that level of consciousness. Some do, not many. And so I make the assumption that most people I'm talking to are operating from some version of a previous version of themselves. A kid who wasn't satisfied, a kid who didn't have some need met, some previous version of themselves that's afraid. Or, you know, they're trying to live from a place of insecurity and inadequacy, trying to get something out of the situation. So if you can learn to understand what's the driver behind it, you can start to relate and be like, huh, I see where that's coming from. And you can start to sort of, you know, instead of meeting it with resistance, you meet it sort of like a soft landing with an understanding mind instead of a condemning mind. And then you open up this whole new possibility of like, you know, everyone's seeking to be understood. And if you're having difficult conversations with someone, obviously seemingly important, if they can feel understood, they're going to let down their guard. If they can feel like you truly understand them, they're going to let down their guard. And so our opportunity as leaders and men is to like, huh, how do I help this person be seen, soothed, seen, hold on, safe, seen, and soothed. Safe was the one I missed. I want them to feel safe. I want them to feel seen, and I want them to feel soothed. So, like, what does that look like? Be curious. Because so many of us come out with our man, the best analogy one of my previous coaches gave to me is like, you come into a fight with your dagger at somebody's throat, like you're trying to attack. It's like, stop attacking, put your dagger in the ground, hold your ground, show your stance, but don't come attacking. I was like, that's a good analogy. I'm not going to come attack you. I just want to be here and be strong. I'm going to be strong in my position. But I'm not going to attack. That's sorry. There's sort of a lot of face noises there, but hopefully that. Do you have any follow-up questions? Does that help?
No, that helps for sure. Yeah, it was just kind of a general, just a general topic. So, yeah, sure.
And the big thing that I'm so aware of, and probably in the last 6 months, is how much our genes drive our decisions, how much our genes drive our conversations, our avoidance of things. Like I can see it in your genes, how you're going to deal with a situation, a difficult situation, for sure.
And so, yeah, I know if you're going to be avoidant, I know if you're going to pursue something, with like reckless abandon, I know if you're going to be disciplined, you can see it in somebody's genes. So once you start to recognize that you're not the one making the decision, it's ultimately happening internally, right? The decision's made before you react. Then you can start to separate the internal cue, which is generally causing a reaction, and the thing that you actually project outwards. So, for example, something stressful happens, you feel this internal cue, your immediate response is, I want to react. Learning to create a separation, a wedge between that, is maybe the greatest gift in communication. It's like, I'm not going to be influenced by my emotions. You guys, have you heard me talk about my four master skills? Master your body, master your money, master your communication, and master your emotions. I believe those are the four master skills. Mastering your emotions is not about not experiencing emotions, but experiencing emotions, but not letting it influence your decisions, your actions, and outcomes. So I would encourage you all, if you have kids especially, master your body, master your money, master your communication, and master your emotions. Communication means both verbal and written. Mastering money is incredibly nuanced for anyone who's attempting to master money. The more I study money, the more I recognize how it's extremely, I don't know if it's complex, but there's a lot more to money than anyone ever told me, that's for sure. What other follow-up questions you got, Mike?
I was just thinking, as you said that. So say you tend to be an avoidant person, and you have the genes to support it. Say whether it's confrontation, something at work, or hard conversation, or avoiding taking on a new role or exploring a new possibility. Right? Like once you have the awareness of that, what's the best way to kind of come back and combat that to take action? You know what I mean?
I actually spend a lot of time thinking about this because that's my genetic profile. Like I'm a very high adrenaline personality. And so adrenaline is the primary driver of avoidance because it feels like anxiety, it feels like fear. So how do we modulate adrenaline before it happens? Or how do we modulate adrenaline while it's happening? You're like, huh. So data will tell you that morning cold plunges is probably the most useful way to modulate later day spikes in adrenaline. I'm like, well, that's interesting because what you're doing is you're sort of like pre-training this internal system with like flooding the system with adrenaline on purpose, and then you tend to be more level throughout the rest of the day. That's one thing. The second thing, there's a few. You want to take some things that can modulate the adrenal glands. So what modulates the adrenal glands? Well, ashwagandha can do it, but ashwagandha will level you out for sure. However, ashwagandha's got some pretty weird side effects around mood. So I'm not a big fan of ashwagandha, but I love L-theanine. L-theanine, 400 milligrams of L-theanine is amazing for modulating adrenaline. So those are the ones that I've got to so far. And man, movement, like we live in this like constant flood of cortisol and stress hormones. Cortisol, adrenaline are both stress hormones. And the more we move, we can sort of circulate them instead of them concentrating in one area and making us feel anxious and overwhelmed, which ultimately leads to heart disease. We mobilize them and we move through them and the body metabolizes them faster. Oh, and if you're not taking methylation support, like B vitamins, like methylated B vitamins, like homocysteine support, that's a super important one too.
Yeah, solid. I do tend, yeah, I do take a methylated B vitamin. And, yeah, it's definitely something to explore. I'll check that out.
I have this theory around ADHD being just an excess of adrenaline. Because if you're a young kid and you have an excess of adrenaline and you don't know how to modulate it and you grow up in a stressful environment, your brain just constantly bathing in cortisol and adrenaline. And then people are like, well, if you take Adderall, your adrenaline is high, but it's constant. So you don't get these peaks and troughs. So you sort of feel focused because you're not having these emotional outbursts. And I have this belief that it's not, nobody, I don't believe anyone has ADHD. What I believe you have is the inability to control your adrenaline. Now, is there a diagnosis that exceeds that? I'm not sure. I've yet to find it. But generally, if anyone has ADHD, I can pretty much assume there's some version of anxious avoidant because of excessive adrenaline.
That makes sense. I could see that when I was younger, with school and that. It was definitely the adrenaline thing. It makes sense, right?
And man, the good thing about adrenaline, because everything has a positive, right? There's a reason it's there, is you tend to be hyper-vigilant. Higher adrenaline makes you hyper-vigilant, which means you're probably better at learning, you're probably better at details, you're probably better at things that require you to be super attentive and aware until you get really distracted. So like you probably have this amazing ability to focus on things. I always use the example of the double black diamond. I'm going down a double black diamond, and I'm like, there's so many pieces of information that my brain needs to see. And the higher your adrenaline, the more your brain can see because it's super aware of everything going around. But then if you slow everything down and you're not going full speed down a double black diamond, you're like, your brain continues to go like it is going down a double black diamond. You're like, well, this isn't useful. So now the rate of processing inside your brain is exceeding the rate of processing outside of your brain in the environment. And that's where you start creating this anxiety response. So this is a really useful framework for anyone, by the way. The rate of processing of things inside of your brain relative to the processing outside the world is actually how we determine time. So if you want to slow down time, you slow down the rate of processing in your brain. If you want to speed up time, you speed up the rate of processing in your brain. It's literally how you can literally dilate time that way.
Yeah, it was very well explained. Yeah, thank you for that.
It's my adrenaline brain kicking in, Mike. Mick, good to see you, man. I don't know if that we've talked too much on these calls before. Is there anything I can support you with this week?
Hey, how's it going, gentlemen? It's great to meet you all for the first time. Yeah, I'm located in Ireland here. But just listening in, just kind of what you're saying to home, Ben. I guess you have the COMT mutation as well. So, I've been following a lot of your emails and podcasts on things like peptides. That's been really interesting because know about the tall really. Personally speaking, I've been working with Andrew and it's been a great help to me. Currently, I'm going to be doing a personal training course, and that's my ultimate ambition is to be a personal trainer slash coach and learning so much from all of you guys. And if it's one thing, mindset, psychology is something, I'd be keen to learn a bit more on, maybe an understanding again myself and other people so that I could ultimately become a good coach.
Tell me what mindset means to you, Mick. So the question may be like mindset means different things to different people. So is there like a struggle that you're experiencing? Like, man, I'm having a hard time getting motivated, or I'm having a hard time with negative thoughts, or I'm having a hard time with like, I don't know, getting my life in order. Is there a specific thing that, I can give you a lot of information on mindset, but is there a specific thing you're like, yeah, I'd love to understand this a little bit deeper?
Kind of personally speaking, my mindset's actually been pretty good this past while. Just like all you men, like it's personal struggles this past year. Father passed away a few months ago. Mom's been in and out of hospital. But, Andrew's been like a rock star, helping me keep my mind focused. I get on my kind of personal training journey, I've kind of been struggling to kind of, get clients and keeping them. I mean, I've offered people to coach people for free, but they've been kind of flaking on me, and I suppose I was kind of judgmental and maybe harsh, and I had to kind of like fuck that attitude and just kind of just stop reaching out to them. It's just kind of.
Yeah, I can probably offer some perspective. So, First of all, man, I'm really sorry for your loss. I know how losing a mom is extremely difficult. I lost my mom in June, and so we're and now Andrew lost his mom recently as well. So we're sort of all in the same situation. And so here, I'm gonna mute you, Mick, because it's a little loud. So it's so important to know that any belief that you have in life is also at your disposal to change. Here's what I mean. I've taken on the belief, and I'm not telling you this is the right belief, but I've taken on the belief that my mother was an unbelievable angel who came from heaven to bring me into this world and bring me unbelievable lessons and gifts and wisdom and love. And she gave me everything I needed. Sometimes positive, sometimes negative, sometimes easy, sometimes hard, but everything was what I needed. As long as I choose to see it that way, and it will always be that way. Everything that's been given to me in my life has been a blessing, including the challenges, because I needed to learn and grow. And that belief has served me. When my mom passed, all I could do was spend time with her and with a big smile on my face, I'm so grateful for you. I'm like, and I can't help but get emotional. I'm like, I'm so grateful for this woman who gave me life. And the only objective thing my mother gave me was life, and everything else was subject to my interpretation. And that's my belief. That's my chosen belief. And it hasn't always been that way. A long time ago, I would have blamed my mother for some of the things that she wasn't able to do or how she didn't show up. And I'm like, no, man. Like, she was doing the best she could, and she gave me exactly what I needed. And I've been able to turn it. It's my opportunity to turn into something positive. So that's that perspective there. When it comes to your training clients, the way we position, we've got a certification, Meg, and we'll be in Ireland in 2026, probably in the spring. And my encouragement to you, man, is people want to hire the star athlete. So my encouragement to you is become someone who's focused on your own goals, your own personal development, to the level that you don't care about anybody else. The reason I was able to become successful as a bodybuilder is because, like, I wasn't worried about Instagram. I wasn't worried about signing clients. I was just about worried about being a badass bodybuilder. And I was gonna work my ass off in the gym, be the best version of me that I could. And then everyone goes, I want some of that. So the reason I started coaching in 20, I don't know, probably 2001 was because I had a list of people, a long list of people who were like, can I please work with you? And I was like, sure, let's go. Like, I didn't ask people, but because I was so focused on myself and so focused on doing my craft really well, and I wasn't trying to sell them anything. I was like, man, I'm just really good at this. If you want me to show you, I can show you, but I'm not trying to sell you anything. Now it becomes this magnetic type of marketing, this magnetic appeal, instead of you always trying to chase people. So my encouragement to you, man, is like, forget about everyone else. The more you go like this in the gym, it's same with women. I don't know if you're married, but like, if you don't pay any attention to women, you just focus on your own goals and your own objectives, all the women want to pay attention to you because, like, that guy's on a mission. I want the kind of guy who's on a mission. He's indistractable. He's focused on where he's going. He's not focused on every woman along the way. That's interesting to a woman. Just same with clients. It's all psychology, man. So I encourage you, again, I know we need to make money, but I encourage you just to, like, develop yourself into the best version of yourself in every facet. Read the books, take the courses, train twice a day, train three times a day. Like, every spare minute you have, do something to improve yourself, to become the type of person worth following, right? Everyone wants to have followers. Well, become the type of person worth following, Whatever that may mean to you. Whatever lights you up, man. That's my way to think about coaching, because I think coaches have it backwards. They try to be a coach before they're a star. Be a star first.
And that's awesome, Dan. Thank you for that. It's, mean, kind of the whole kind of Instagram game too. I just kind of new to all that, and I get the, I just it's not me. So, and it seems to be this in this day and age, this is how you seem to get the customers, kind of where I am anyway. So
Well, you can still get the customers, man. So look, I'm not an Instagram guy either. I'm like sort of forced to go on there. I don't want to do it. What I always say is like, send a videographer with me and follow my life, because people will find that interesting. That's going to be my new social media strategy, is like, come watch me train. Come watch me have these conversations with you guys. Like, come watch me have my conversations with my clients. People will find that very interesting because I'm doing cool shit. And the same with you. If you just like go to the gym and film your workouts, don't teach anything. Don't talk about anything. Just do. People will follow. You'll grow more of a following when you simply do, right? Gary Vaynerchuk says, document, don't create. Just document your life. Live a life worth following, and people will follow. I think it's a really big sort of flip that has happened in our culture by accident. I don't think people think about this. Everyone's trying to teach when you're not there yet, man. Like, become the star athlete first and then go back and teach afterwards.
Awesome, Ben. Thanks very much. I think it's going to set me on a far better course now than kind of the way I was heading. I think described exactly kind of I've been trying to teach, but to say I haven't become the star athlete yet. So, no, that's great, man. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
I
man,
thank you.
so I'll tell you what. I don't know you well, Nick. Obviously, I know you a little bit, but I would be interested to watch you train. Like, if you put a hard training set on Instagram, I would stop and watch it. If you stop and try to tell me about something you're teaching about fitness, I'd be like, I'm not fucking interested, man. I want to watch you get after it. I want to see who you really are. You know, I hire people, ask Mats. You know, my first job interview is when I hire people, what do we do? I don't ask them shit. You know what we do? We train. We train. Let's go to the gym. I want to see who you really are. I don't care what you have to say. I want to see who you are in the gym. And like, that's way more interesting to me than hearing your pedigree and your experience and your titles. I'm like, I don't care. Let me see who you really are. Right. So I would encourage you to be like, show people who you really are through your actions, not your words.
That's the set of the band that I've got, and thank you very much.
Yeah, man,
Anyway,
get after it,
thanks.
dude. And I'll tell you what, in closing, I believe in you, man. I believe in you, and you can do so much. You can do so much. You just have to like be willing to be uncomfortable, be willing to be afraid, be willing to like, we have two limitations in life, laziness and fear. That's it. Learn to like overcome laziness and fear, and the world will be yours. There's only two limitations.
Awesome, Dan. It's invaluable. Thanks for the good perspective you shared on your mother's path. And just, it's something I can apply to your father's path and to, thank you very much.
Pleasure, dude. Thanks for being here, man. Hope I'll see you next week. Boys, we're running a little late. I know we jumped on late. Anything else you guys want to wrap on? I gotta take Mats out for a steak. Mats and Gavin and I are going for a steak. We'll send you guys a photo of our team dinner.
Is it Gavin's birthday today?
No, the 10th, last week.
Oh, last week. Oh, week behind. All right.
Yeah, darn. We'll take him out for some shots. He's getting some Jack Daniels down his gullet tonight. He doesn't know yet. I'm just kidding. Okay, gents. I appreciate you guys all. Thanks for being here. Hopefully we see you guys next week.
Cheers. Thanks, guys.